ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज फॉर टुडे इवनिंग्स फेस्टिवल एज पार्ट ऑफ बलराम जीज अपीयरेंस डे श्री बलराम जयंती। सो इट्स अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट ओकेजन and the theme which I have chosen for today evening's presentation is taking shelter of Balaramji to develop one of the qualities which Srila Prabhupada discussed as part of the four qualities. Prabhupada said, books are the basis, utility is the principle, preaching is the essence, and the fourth is purity is the force. So force means bala, the power, and we will discuss how only and only by the causeless unlimited mercy of Lord Baldev it is possible to develop this purity. So it is described, stanav vyanjita kaishorav samavrittav nirantarav vastrantena niguhantim vridaya gajagaminim. So a beautiful woman, lady, was walking in the midst of a forest, and she was appearing very shy, vridaya, and she was walking just like the wonderful majestic walk of an elephant, gaja gaminim. So analogies are given in terms of how certain qualities represented by an animal. So to say that someone walks like an animal is a glorification. To say that someone eats like an animal is not glorification. So therefore, elephant is known for its majestic walk. So this beautiful woman was walking, and it is described, stanav vyanjita kaisharav samavrittav nirantarav. All parts of her body were very attractive looking, and vastrantena niguhantim, with the edge of her clothes, of her sari, she was trying to cover her chest. Vastrantena niguhantim, she was trying to cover her body with the edge of her sari. Vridaya gajagaminim. So now you may wonder, what is the connection with Balaram Jayanti? Is it Balaram Jayanti or Mohini Murthy Jayanti? And what exactly is this, a spiritual discourse, or you are trying to agitate our senses? So this verse is spoken by Narad Muni, so therefore we can breathe peacefully. And it is spoken in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it carries a very significant purport. It is spoken by Narad Muni to King Prachini Barhishat, who had a massive false ego and who considered himself too powerful, intelligent and great. And therefore Narad Muni had to resort to innovative ways of communicating the real truths of life, because intelligent people like things to be spoken indirectly so that they can figure out what is the meaning on their own. And by that they get the meaning of the words spoken with the satisfaction of having done it themselves. Therefore intelligent people don't like television, they call it idiot box. because someone already does the thinking for you. And therefore, Narad Muni was expert at preaching to all classes of people. So what exactly is this verse referring to? This comes in the Puranjan pastime. So Puranjan is the conditioned soul and is walking through the soul who resides within the material body in the conditioned stage. And he is coming across this beautiful girl and she represents the material intelligence. So only with the help of material intelligence one can fulfill one's enjoyment plans. So therefore, the attractive parts of this lady's body represent attachment and envy, or raga and dvesh, or kama or krodha. So therefore, the material intelligence, the body of the material intelligence is comprised of various types of attachments, aversions and things like that, which is taken very seriously by the soul, and the soul is very much attracted and enchanted. These are my attachments, these are my likes, these are my dislikes, they are my likes and my dislikes. So one is attracted, just as Puranjan is attracted to this girl. But what she was trying to do was, she was trying to cover herself with the edge of her sari, and Prabhupada gives the purport. Vastrantena niguhanti means that although one may have attachments and aversions, one may have lust, anger, greed, etc. But just because one has it, one should not say, I have it, what can I do? You have to deal with it. It is there, I am not going to change, face it. No. As that lady was trying to cover, the purport is that one must try to purify oneself. One must try to dissipate the influence of these anarthas. And therefore, this particular purport is very revealing, that greed, pride, lust, anger, etc. may be there. But one must put efforts to cover it. That means one must put efforts to purify oneself and become freed from the influence. So therefore, that the anarthas are there is not surprising, but how we deal with the anarthas is important. Because as long as these anarthas are there within the heart, one has the enjoyment propensity. So the intelligence is used by the soul to make plans for material enjoyment. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful analogy that just imagine if someone is sitting and watching a television program. So you're sitting peacefully, the TV is there, the remote is in your hand, so many programs are going on and you're changing the channel and having the satisfaction of being in control. You are watching the TV, watching the programs absorb, and suddenly a black, poisonous, lethal cobra also comes there and starts watching, not the TV, you. So just imagine what will be the response. Is it possible to continue watching the program peacefully? Not possible. As soon as one sees this cobra, one is frightened, one is affected. Nor can you take that remote and control the snake. So that, okay, go. It's not possible. So we have neither control over the snake nor the ability to remain peaceful in that condition. Therefore, in such a frightened state, how can we enjoy? So we are trying to enjoy all the resources of this material world and have the satisfaction of controlling those resources by remote, not knowing that the snake of death is lurking right next to us. Therefore, it is described that unless one becomes purified of these desires to enjoy, of these attachments and aversions, one cannot experience one's real self. So hence, we need help. We are in a diseased condition and we need help. And it is described that ignorance is the cause of this disease and the medicine is knowledge. And all knowledge originates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And his first expansion, Lord Baladev, is the presiding deity for the chit potency or the knowledge potency. And when that knowledge potency of the Supreme Lord Sri Baladev expands into the heart of a soul in this world, that personality who becomes the recipient of the chit expansion of the chit shakti of Lord Baladev within this world is known as Sri Guru or the spiritual master or one who has received knowledge of the spiritual world from the right source. And hence, it is only possible to get knowledge from such a source which can destroy the ignorance and the anarthas. Therefore, in the conditioned state when we are suffering, we need to take shelter of Lord Baladev and Lord Baladev's representative, Guru, and his representatives who are spreading knowledge on his behalf. And that is the significance of today, that on this most auspicious occasion of Lord Baladev's appearance day, we have to pray helplessly like a beggar, by which Lord Baladev takes our plea seriously, so that he releases the potency by which this anartha or the enjoyment propensity is dissipated and the anarthas of kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, etc. is destroyed. Therefore, today is that day where that mercy is released profusely, and if you are able to beg helplessly, then Lord Baladev will reciprocate. So therefore, this material world is compared to a place where we are sick. And many times people question that, what exactly do we do in this temple? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur describes the temple, the ISKCON temple or any of these temples. At his time there was Gaudiya Math. The temple where knowledge, real knowledge of the spiritual world and the spiritual science is distributed is like a hospital. The medicine is Harikatha and Harinam, and the residents of the Math, they are like the nurses and the attendants, and the Guru is like the main doctor. And whoever comes in is like a patient, and we get the benefit of this medicine and get treated and go away. Therefore, the Supreme Personality who makes this medicine work gives us the understanding by which the medicine actually acts and destroys the disease is Lord Baladev. Because on the mundane platform, if you go to a doctor and he gives you the medicine, simply taking the medicine is sufficient. Whatever remarks you may make to the doctor and deal with him, but the medicine works. Whereas on the spiritual platform, the medicine works when the doctor wills. And therefore, we do not have the power to manipulate the effects of the medicine. And hence, even having received the medicine, we still remain beggar. Therefore, today is the day to beg for that mercy, so that the medicine of Katha and Kirtan and Naam works upon us. And then gradually these anarthas are dissipated. So, it is described that Lord Baladev carries the plow. The anarthas within the heart make us hard-hearted. And so the plow is used for plowing the hard soil and making it fertile. So that is known as Karshan. And when Baladev and his representative use that knowledge to plow our hard heart and purify it of all the anarthas, then it is possible to plant the seed of bhakti, and then gradually one can receive the fruits, and then gradually one can have attraction, which is known as akarshan, towards Krishna's flute. So Baladev is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead, and part of his service is to help the conditioned souls who are distracted from Krishna again attracted towards Krishna. And if one feelingly and willingly seeks that help, that is his greatest pleasure, and he would willingly do that. Therefore, there are very, very important lessons to be learned in this first part of the discussion based on this verse of Narad Muni. That the first and foremost principle is that Prabhupada says in the purport, lust and anger are unfavorable for spiritual advancement. Then secondly, Srila Prabhupada explains that both lust and anger appear equally attractive, and we take these attachments and aversions too seriously. And thirdly, he says, even if one is tainted by kaam, krodh, etc., he can still be transfigured by Krishna consciousness, transformed by Krishna consciousness. And the most important personality who will help in this transformation is Lord Baladev. Therefore, once we get the knowledge, then the consciousness changes. Activities may remain same. As example is given, that just like there is a prisoner and there is a judge, the judge is going to the court, and he is going to the court in a government vehicle, in a Mercedes-Benz. He has a security guard. And then the prisoner, he thinks, I am also going to the court. Judge is going to court, I am going to court. Judge is traveling in government vehicle, I am also traveling in government vehicle. My vehicle is bigger. Judge is having security guard, I am also having security guard. I have many more security guards. So what is the difference? The difference is the consciousness. One is criminal mentality and the other is a law abider. And therefore, the entire process of Krishna consciousness is an endeavor to increase our purity and purify the consciousness of this contamination. So let us see few of these anarthas and how by taking shelter of Lord Baladev we can achieve this state of purity. The first is kama or lust, and it is described that lust is the most powerful binding force. So in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is description of how Krishna and Balaram were playing in the forest and a demon came. And this demon was dressed as a cowherd boy. And this demon's name is Pralambasur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Pralambasur represents lust, gross and subtle. And as Pralambasur came, they played a game where they divided themselves in different teams. And Krishna's team won and Balaram's team lost. So Lord Balaram was on the losing side, so he had to carry the winners upon his shoulders. And Pralambasur had taken side of Krishna. So Balaramji took Pralambasur upon his shoulders and started walking. And as he walked, suddenly Balaramji saw that they were going deeper and deeper into the forest. And the spot where he was supposed to put him down had already passed. And then Baladev started thinking, something is wrong here. What happened was a game, but this demon is also playing some games. And he understood immediately at that time, if he is a demon, then definitely I have to work on him. And he just increased his weight. And it is described, Tam Udvahan Dharani Dharendra Gauravam. He became so heavy that simply by his weight, Pralambasur had to slow down. And when Pralambasur slowed down, he increased his size to counteract the influence of Balram's power. But at that time, Balramji just took his fist and gave a hit upon his head, and Pralambasur fell on the ground vomiting blood, and he was dead. Balramji ki. So this was the power of Balramji. And he is representing, Pralambasur is representing gross and subtle sex or lust. So it is described here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that the first principle of lust is that duplicitous behavior follows lust. So here was Pralambasur carrying Balram upon his shoulders, and it appeared that he was serving him. But he did not have any attitude to serve. He was just carrying him so that ultimately he could kill him. So many times we are performing service, but that service is tainted with the desire to enjoy. So we may appear to be humble, but actually the intent is something else. And that is because of the influence of the desire to enjoy. Second point Prabhupada makes is very significant. How to deal with this? So the main factor which makes us do this is the mind. The mind convinces us that enjoyment propensity should not be given up. And therefore one maintains this duplicity. So the solution is there. It is described in the fifth canto in a beautiful verse by Jada Bharat to Maharaj Rahugan, and he says, Bhratruptyam etad hi adabhravīryam upekshaya adhejitam pramatta. That his mind is very difficult to control, very powerful, and practically crazy. So the mind is just like a restless child. You cannot tell the restless child what he must do. And the nature of restless child is he will do exactly opposite of what you tell him. Just like I was telling recently in Nasik this example, that many times we visit people's homes for program, and then sometimes they have small kids, and the parents bring the kids and tell the kid that, okay, Prabhuji has come, beta, sing Narsing Aarti. And the child is just staring. And they say, please sing Narsing Aarti, Prabhuji wants to hear. And he's still staring, no expressions. Please sing, he wants to hear. No Narsing Aarti. And he's looking at me as if I'm Hiranyakashipu. Nothing happens. And then they say, okay, he's not in good mood. And then the program begins. And then later, somewhere in the corner, he is sitting and singing Narsing Aarti. When he is in mood. That is exactly the way our mind deals. When you want the mind to do something, that time it will rebel. And later you are doing something else, then it will give idea. Now let us do that. So therefore he says, the solution is very simple. And Jadabharat is saying, Gurur Harer Charano Pasadanat, by accepting the shelter of Guru, the spiritual master, Jahi Vyalikam Swayam Atma Mosham. So he says that two things one must do, Upekshaya, one must disobey and one must obey. Disobey the mind's orders and obey the Guru's orders. These two things are a very powerful combination. And therefore the first order which Srila Prabhupada has given is chant Hare Krishna attentively, without offense. And all the other problems begin from there. So we have propensity to disobey, use it by disobeying the mind's orders. So one time Srila Prabhupada was meeting someone, and this gentleman was supposed to be a scholar, and he was arguing with Prabhupada that nowhere in the scriptures loud chanting is recommended. He was telling Prabhupada, we should chant mentally. Prabhupada said, no, it is described, we must chant loudly. He said, no, mentally. And back and forth this went on. And then when it was time for prasad, Srila Prabhupada said, distribute prasad to everyone else except him. He said, why? Swamiji, why? Prabhupada said, you will eat mentally. And then Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has recommended loud chanting of the holy names as Sankirtan Yajna, and we follow in his footsteps. So the mind's divisive nature can only be controlled by mantra. How a mantra works is practically impossible to understand, inconceivable to know. Just like a bee, its body weight is greater than its wingspan, and it is inconceivable how the bumblebee flies. But still it flies. Similarly, how exactly the mantra works scientifically on the mind is impossible to know. But it works. Therefore, this is the most important principle. So therefore, the third principle is that if we have to obey the orders of our spiritual authority, then what is its effect? Guru means heavy. And it is only the heavy mercy of someone who is representing Krishna that makes this anartha of lust lose its momentum. When Balaramji became heavy, then Pralambasur slowed down. So the momentum of our lusty desire slows down only under the influence of a great soul's causeless mercy. And therefore the word used here is Gauravam. Mahasuro Vigataraya Nijam Vapu. His speed slowed down. And then one more very important principle which is mentioned is, to be free from unlawful desires, one should stop making plans. One should stop making plans. So with this, it is possible to conquer the influence of lust. So therefore, Balaramji, who is the origin of the Guru Tattva, he gives that potency, and when we just take shelter of that potency, we can become free from lust. Second principle is anger. So there is this pastime where the anger is described. And what is that? That Balaramji had to come face to face with the Kurus. And what was the occasion? The Kurus had kidnapped Samba, who was trying to marry Lakshmana, the daughter of Duryodhan. So as soon as the Yadavas came to know, they became very agitated. They wanted to attack. But Lord Balaram said no. And the word used is Kalim Kalimahapaham. Balaramji said, I have appeared in this world to remove the influence of Kali, therefore I will not allow this quarrel. And saying that, he just told them, I will pacify the residents of Hastinapur, the Kauravas, you don't worry. And the Yadava army was restrained, and Balaramji went. And when he went, he was given a very good welcome by all the Kauravas. The senior most members had come. But then as soon as Balaramji said, the intent of my visit is to take Samba and Lakshmana together so that they can be married, the Kauravas became very angry. And they started speaking very harshly. And they said to Balaramji, that how is it possible that a shoe, a slipper, which rests upon the feet, wants to sit on the head? How do you expect Krishna, who has been given this facility to enjoy in Dwarka by us, how can it demand such a favor from the Kauravas who are ultimately the most powerful. And they were blaspheming Krishna in so many ways. So Balaramji had given assurance at Dwarka that he is going to make peace. But when he heard these words, he forgot all peace. Then immediately he became very angry. And the Kauravas were so impudent, they spoke all this and went back to Hastinapur, leaving Balaramji alone on the outskirts. So Balaramji collected whoever residents were nearby and spoke these angry words. And he said, when scoundrels forget to respect Supreme Lord Krishna, then they must just be treated like animals are treated with a stick. Pashunam lagudo yatha. And therefore he said, I am going to show them what I am going to do. And he said, how can they disrespect Krishna? Yasyangri pankajaraja akhila loka palair maulyuttamair dhritamupasita kirta kirti. Krishna is the Supreme Lord who makes all the holy places holy. Yasyangri pankajaraja, the dust of Krishna's lotus feet is sought after by the greatest demigods. And to purify themselves, people take his dust upon their head, Mauli Uttamair. Even if they have jewel-bedecked helmets, they are eager for that dust of Krishna's lotus feet. Brahma Bhavoham Udvahena. Even the greatest demigods like Brahma, Shiva, etc., they are hankering for that dust. And they are disrespecting the dust of Krishna's lotus feet and insulting him. And Balaramji immediately took his plough and put that plough inside Hastinapur, onto the soil of Hastinapur, and started dragging the whole city of Hastinapur with the intent of throwing it into the Ganges. So we have heard of earthquake, we have heard of tsunami, this was something different. It was Balaramji's unique leela. And as soon as the entire earth started shaking, all these Kauravas came running, keeping Samba in front, and fell at the feet of Balaramji. And Balaramji became very pacified. They glorified Balaramji and said it was our mistake, and Balaramji became pacified. And it is described that after this pastime, if you go to that place, it is still has a slight tilt. On the southern side it is slightly inclined more, and it is sloping, because Mother Earth wanted to retain some symbol to show that if you deal with Balaramji like this, this is what happens. So be careful. So here there are very interesting points. First of all, how the principle of anger is being demonstrated here. So many times we hear criticism. So what these Kauravas were trying to do was trying to create division between Krishna and Balaram so that Balaramji joins their ranks and agrees with them. So this is known as the political ploy of Bheda. So as soon as Balaramji heard this, he became very angry. So by going along with criticism, this is a very important lesson. By going along with criticism in the absence of a person and without any intention of helping him, what happens? We become weak, and the mission we are representing, that also becomes weak. And that is a very significant thing. And as soon as there is criticism, we feel, okay, by going along with this, we may become friendly. But no. One can counteract this influence by displaying what Balaramji displayed. And it is described that our loyalty and faith in Krishna is tested by attacks. So we have displayed our faith to Krishna and loyalty, people will attack that. But one must counteract it fearlessly. And fearless also means that sometimes one may have to use anger in Krishna's service. And therefore, in Upadeshamrita, Srila Prabhupada describes that anger can be used in the Lord's service by using it against those who are envious of Krishna and acting against Krishna's interests. So by the potency and the power of Lord Baladev, one can develop that faith and conviction so that we can remain loyal to Krishna in all conditions and fearlessly face opposition, even if Krishna and his interests are attacked. And sometimes what happens is, when our loyalty is affected, why? Because we are put in certain situations in life. We are put in certain situations which may be little intriguing. Some sudden calamity comes, and when the calamity comes, your near and dear ones, your family members, they may say, oh, because you have become Hare Krishna, this problem has started. Just look at us. No Hare Krishna, no problem. And you are going through this because of this. So immediately the mind may think, okay, this may be the reason. But actually calamity and different problems are anyway going to come, whatever one may do. Therefore, that should not be reason for us to become bewildered. I was giving this example that just like you want to take prasad and you are standing in the prasadam line, and you come walking through the prasadam line, and then the first person gives you rice on your plate. And just imagine that in the prasadam line there is a man standing in the end with a hammer, and that is the last item of the prasad, and is going to hit you on the head. So when you are taking the rice, you don't know, and you are thinking, rice is very hot, nice. Then dal, very good. Then you come, sabji, oh good. Halwa, wonderful. And then you come, pakoda, so very good. And then hathoda. And as soon as that falls on the head, you are bewildered and wondering what happened. So far, life was cool. And then suddenly, I got this one. And then you go away totally intrigued. For all the other items, you can say, thoda jada, thoda kam. But for this item, there is a standard, and it is up to him. You can't say thoda, or you can't say piche wale ko. You can't do that. He is very steady and constant. So therefore, if we are trying to fill up our plate with material enjoyment in this world, we should know that part of the menu is also the hammer of Adidaivik, Adibhautik, Adhyatmik kleshas, manipulated in so many ways, you can't avoid it. Only difference is, when you are a devotee, you can still go away chanting Hare Krishna, and you know where to go. And people who are backside in the line, they are seeing someone is coming bleeding, and they are thinking, hey, just see poor guy. He doesn't know how to take prasad, that's why he got hit. They don't know, they are on the line. And it's going to happen. Therefore, one must have faith and be loyal to this mission, to this process of Krishna consciousness, in spite of all opposition. Even if people try to divide your faith, which is what the Kauravas were doing with Balram, trying to divide Krishna and Balram. But what Balramji did, take the plow, and he tried to defend Krishna. So therefore, it means that as devotees, we must defend the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And that means that we must preach fearlessly. Srila Prabhupada, he describes that one must defend his philosophy against all attacks and also the institution. It's a beautiful example. There is a chapter in Lilamrit called Threat Against ISKCON. And it describes how in 1970 there were some problems because of which some devotees were minimizing Prabhupada's condition, position. There was some insult. Prabhupada was not allowed to come on a Rathyatra cart. Some of his letters were screened. His name, Founder Acharya, was not printed. It was very clear someone is playing games, and it was like an insult. So naturally, when we are insulted, we react. But what Srila Prabhupada did was, he could detect this anartha, and he could detect the problem, and what he did was, he pinpointed who these people were, gave them sannyas, and sent them out to preach. After being treated like this. Why? Because he had faith that if they preach, they will become purified by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and maybe this anartha will go away. Then after a few, and what Srila Prabhupada himself did, he left Los Angeles and went to Japan. And there he heard reports that these same personalities were now saying that Srila Prabhupada is God, and they were preaching Mayavad. And then this was an attack on ISKCON. It was undermining the whole philosophy of ISKCON. And therefore Srila Prabhupada immediately replied back, these people should be banned from ISKCON. His response was immediate. So when there is a personal attack, Srila Prabhupada took the lenient stance. And when there was an attack on ISKCON, he was very strong and immediate. Whereas many times we are opposite. We act opposite. When there is a personal attack, we feel too much affected. And even if the philosophy or the institution is blasphemed or dealt with in devious ways, we are pretty lukewarm about this whole thing. So therefore, how the response must be, it all depends on proper intelligence. And burst of anger doesn't mean literally one starts doing things which is not according to the law. But in spirit, one must remain loyal and faithful. If I have a bullet in my hand, and with my hand, I show the bullet to you and say, hands up. Otherwise, I'll throw this bullet. What will be your response? You're already responding, you're smiling, laughing. Throw, let us see. But if that same bullet is put inside a gun, and then I say, hands up, then immediately there is some response. You know, okay, even if he's joking, but it could be dangerous. Why? Because it is inside a gun. So the bullet in one's hand is powerful, but the way it is released cannot create full impact. Similarly, Harinam and Harikatha is like bullet. And ISKCON is like a gun. And when there is a spiritual institution which is organizing the spread of the holy name and the pastimes of the Lord, the impact it can make in society is much more deeper, and the effect it can have on Maya's forces is more lethal. And therefore, if someone is undermining the validity and the integrity of the institution and the residents within it, then if one just takes it casually, it will lead to the disintegration of the very mechanism and the machine by which the holy name and the pastimes are distributed. Therefore, one must be loyal, faithful, following in the footsteps of Lord Balaramji, and protect. So this is the second principle of anger. Krodha bhakta dveshi jane. And third is greed. If one has greed, how to deal with it? As I was giving a seminar on overcoming greed, and I was saying that those who are greedy, they accumulate so much of wealth, and I was making a quote that the money, the wealth is so much attractive that a miser doesn't spend at all. So a miser may not be very so much of fun to live with. When you are living with a miser, it is very austere. So a miser is not so much fun to live with, but he makes a great ancestor. Because after he leaves behind a big sum. So ultimately, one has to leave. But as long as we are conditioned by the concept that I am this body, one wants to accumulate things in response with respect to this body. From aham comes mama. And this principle is represented by Dhenukasura, who was carefully guarding the Talavan forest and all the fruits within, saying, "This is my forest. This is my area. No one can enter." And so Balaramji just went in and started shaking the trees, and all the fruits, tala fruits, started falling down, and Dhenuka came running and started kicking Balaramji's chest with his hind legs. Balaramji just took the hind legs, swung it around and swirled it, and simply by that action, Dhenuka left his body. And then he threw him on the top of the tree, and the tree fell on smaller trees, and in this way, the entire forest was devastated. Other asses followed. And these asses also attacked Krishna and Balaram, but Krishna and Balaram just tackled all of them one by one and sent them in the same direction. And in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this Dhenukasura represents the false identification that I am this body and things in relationship to this body are mine, and one thinks I am the enjoyer of all that I possess. Therefore, this greed is very powerful. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in a purport of 7th canto how to overcome influence of greed. By discussing, first principle he says, he mentions 3 points. First he says, by discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one can become free from the influence or the desire to accumulate money. And second, more important principle, he says that shudhyanti danai santushtya, by charity one can purify one's wealth. And this is a very important principle. And in the same presentation I also make another quote that money is like manure. If you stock it up, it stinks. If you spread it out, it does a lot of good. And therefore, one must give in charity to a right cause. And Srila Prabhupada was meeting this very wealthy businessman, and he was telling Srila Prabhupada that, "Swamiji, I have this one factory in Jaipur, I have this another factory in Delhi, I have this another factory here, but I have factories in so many places, but I can't sleep at night." Prabhupada said, "Just give all those factories to us and sleep peacefully." He got bewildered and he started walking away. And Prabhupada said, "Wait, give your address before you go." And he said, "No, no, Swamiji, I can come back to you." Prabhupada said, "But we should also be able to come to you." And Prabhupada took the address. And then after he left, Prabhupada said, "How people think that by accumulating I can become happy. But actually speaking, till one gives to Krishna and understands that I am simply a trustee on his behalf, one cannot attain any peace." Therefore, the third very important principle is that if one has not too much, then what is recommended is satisfaction. And the example is given that satisfaction is like a shoe which covers the mind. If mind is like a foot, then satisfaction is like the shoe. If you walk through various pebbles and various thorns, you are not affected if the shoe is there. Similarly, if that shoe of satisfaction is there, one may go through various circumstances in life, good and bad, one will not be influenced and affected. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions both of these things. If one has too little, also one must be satisfied. And if one has too much, he must try to give to others so that gradually he recognizes Krishna as the supreme enjoyer. Prabhupada was coming from US to Delhi. So the flight landed at Delhi airport, and devotees had come to greet Srila Prabhupada. And these devotees were carrying a nice garland to welcome Prabhupada and offer it to him. And as soon as Prabhupada got down, Tejas Prabhu was there, and he took this garland and he was about to garland Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "Wait." And he got bewildered. What happened? Prabhupada's head was here, the garland was here. And then Prabhupada said, have you transferred the money to the book fund? And this was the most unlikely question they expected. If you are trying to welcome someone, and he has just come in, and the mood is that of happiness, and you are trying to welcome him, and Prabhupada said, have you transferred the money to the book fund? And he said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, okay, garland me. And then he garlanded. And then he was telling his realization that Srila Prabhupada was, even when dealing with matters within society, he was very, very particular about the fact that how the money should be used in Krishna's service and how one should actually utilize one's intelligence to use these resources in the Lord's service. And that is the way one can overcome the influence of greed. Therefore here, Renukasur represents greed and Lord Baladev is destroying Dhenukasur, and he represents the whole concept of avidya, thinking that all these things belong to me, I am the enjoyer. And the last principle we'll discuss is pride or ahankar. So the first example of ahankar or pride is Dvivid the gorilla. So there are two very important points related to Dvivida. Dvivida was actually an associate of Lord Ram. He was with Lakshman. But actually what happened was he offended Lord Lakshman. So Prabhupada, in the Krishna, in the 10th canto purport, it is quoted that if one offends a great soul out of pride, the result will be bad association. The result of offense is bad sangha. And so Dvivida got the sangha of Narakasur, and in his association he became degraded and he opposed Lord Balaram. And therefore this leads to degradation. So Dvivida was, you know, trying to take revenge against what happened to his friend Narakasur. So he was moving all the mountains, he was moving all the rivers, the oceans with his arms. And then he came to a spot where Lord Balaram was playing with some ladies. Balaram was enjoying with beautiful damsels. And he came right there and started making ugly sounds. Kila, 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 kila. And he was a big, gigantic ape. And he was making all kinds of odd gestures. And Balaramji was thinking, who is this fellow? And then suddenly, without any notice, he just pounced. And Balaramji hit him with a rock, but he dodged it. And then he came straight and grabbed Balaramji's pot of Varuni from his hands and drank it. So you can imagine what Balaramji must be going through. And then he started pulling upon all the other girls' clothes. So Balaramji felt this is enough. And Balaramji took his club and his plow and was ready to attack. But before that, this Dvivida took the trees and started attacking Balaramji with the trees. And Balaramji, using his club, destroyed all the branches of the tree. Cut it into pieces. Then he would take another big tree, hit it on Balaramji. Balaramji would again take his and then destroy it. One by one, the trees were being uprooted. And Balaramji was just turning to powder all these trees. So when all the trees in the forest were finished, then Dvivida started looking for something else. And then he found big, big rocks. So he picked up this rock and started hitting Balaramji with the rocks. And Balaram took his club and smashed these rocks into smaller pieces. And in the purport it is described that it was just like they were having a game. That he was throwing these big rocks on Balaramji, and Balaramji with his club was hitting the rocks. So the propensity to play games like this exists in the Supreme Lord. And this is like the origin of cricket. And then Balaramji, only difference was he was taking these big, big rocks and destroying it into powder. And then finally, when all of the rocks were finished, this Dvivida came upon Balramji and started pounding him upon his chest. Started hitting him. So cricket was over, boxing began. But Balramji was not too impressed. He took a few hits upon his chest. Then Balramji turned to another game, karate. He just took his one chop of his hand and hit him upon his neck and he was finished. So this Dvivida represents false pride. He was so proud of his power that he had the audacity to attack Balramji and all of his associates. So the word pride is used repeatedly in the verses in that section. So therefore, the solution to pride is, by serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. So Dvivida's problem began by offending great devotee. So offense to devotee ultimately leads to degradation due to pride. One commits offense due to pride and then one is degraded. So the counteraction for that is humble service to great devotees. And one devotee after initiation was telling Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, I got this name, you know, so and so Das, Krishna Das, he got Shamsundar Das, he got this Das, they got this name," and they were just discussing about different names Prabhupada had given. And some of them started even saying that, "I just got a general name, not a Vrindavan name or this name or that name." Prabhupada said, "The most important part of the name is Das. If you remember that, that is very important. Whatever may be the name, whatever may be the first part, second part is most important. And therefore, by serving great devotees, one can counteract the influence of false pride." And then we have the example of Romaharshan. He is the second example. And he was sitting and giving a discourse, Lord Balramji entered. And as soon as Lord Balramji entered, he didn't get up. Lord Balramji became very, very angry. And he said, "Adantasya avinitasya vritha panditamanina." This person is speaking big thing, but he is not humble. And therefore, I must teach him a lesson. And so, Balramji said, "He is just speaking these scriptural verses without understanding the essence and without behaving, just like a dramatist may play out his part." So to make him humble, he just took a blade of grass and touched his body with this. And Romaharshan, at that time, sitting right there, he was killed. He left his body. And that was like a major scandal, because he was a great Brahman, great Rishi, speaking. So you can imagine what a scandal it was. Murder on the Vyasasana. He was just killed in one moment. And all the Brahmanas were bewildered. So, as far as pride is concerned, the Lord never fails to perform His duty, even if it is difficult. At that time, Lord Balramji had already taken a vow that he will not in any way take up his weapons, because he had retired. But when he saw this, he said, "This is a serious problem." And therefore, one must be flexible and alert to correct discrepancy. And all the other vows are secondary. And therefore one must be very alert. And Lord Balramji took up that whatever weapon was available, that blade of grass, and did the needful. But then, one may think, maybe Lord Balram was too proud. But no, immediately after that, the fourth point comes, that Lord Balramji demonstrates his humble service attitude. How? All these Brahmins say that we had given long life to this Romaharshan, just now blessed him, "May you live for so many thousands of years," and he is finished. So Balramji said, "Don't worry, I'll bring him back to life." He said, no, don't do that also. So what they did was, Balramji gave a suggestion, "Let us keep his son, Suta Goswami, as the representative." So this indicates that Balramji, he was demonstrating, hate the sin, not the sinner. So he did not have any personal vendetta against Romaharshan or his family. So his son was made representative. And then Balramji humbly asks these Brahmins, what should I do now? He didn't take the blade of grass and show to the whole other Brahmanas. Anyone else? Anyone else wants this mercy? No. He was not overwhelmed by pride. He was humbly seeking. And they said, okay, we want you to do two things. Kill this demon Balwal. And number two, go on a pilgrimage. And Lord Balramji immediately accepted. So he went on a he killed Balwal and went on a pilgrimage. And when he went on pilgrimage, he further demonstrated his humility two times, very significantly. Just accepting the instruction to go on pilgrimage itself is a sign of great humility. He didn't say, you are telling me to go on pilgrimage, that I am the source of all holy places. Because I appear, that place becomes holy. No, he went. But when he went, what he did was, he avoided going to Jagannath Puri. He went to all other holy places except Jagannath Puri. Why? So the purport is given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur. He says that in Jagannath Puri, in all the other places, Krishna is worshipped. But in Jagannath Puri, along with Krishna, Balaram is also worshipped. So the point being made is that a devotee takes pleasure in Krishna's worship, not his own worship. And one feels embarrassed when he receives worship. And that is the point Balaramji was trying to make. So he felt so embarrassed, he just went near Jagannath Puri but bypassed Jagannath Puri. So that was another aspect of his humility. And then, after passing through all the other holy places, he then came to the place on the battle of Kurukshetra, and there was a fight going on between Duryodhan and Bhima. And as this fight was going on, Balaramji, both were his disciples, Balaramji said, please stop this fight. It is not good. But both were so angry, they didn't even hear, continued fighting. Continue hitting each other with their weapons. And Balaramji said, one of you is strong in physical strength, other is more expert in fighting with weapons. It is going to be a no match. It is just going on and on and on. But they just refused to listen to him. So at that time, if you have trained some people and then they are not following, one may become very angry. So Balaramji did not become angry. It is described, dishtam tad anumodhadvyam ramadvarvatayam yavi. He just went away to Dwarka, thinking what? Dishtam tad, that this is what destiny wills. And dishtam is revealed, the meaning is revealed by the acharyas as dishtam refers to Krishna's plan. So this is the second aspect of humility. One is, one doesn't take pleasure in one's own worship. And second aspect of humility which he was revealing was, however powerful I may be, my power is always subordinate to Krishna's plan. So it is Balaram, the source of all bal. But Balaram is saying, dishtam tat anumodhadvam, more powerful than me is Krishna. So if Krishna has decided that these two must continue fighting, and how the result is going to come, he may be knowing. So he will take care of this. I have no power. Let me go. Therefore, accepting the reality with humility, understanding that everything is under Krishna's control, and sometimes even the most powerful people have to only merely remain spectators to what is happening. So Balaram is saying, I can be a spectator because I know ultimately Krishna's power is unlimited. His plans are inconceivable. And the similar situation comes where he gives preference to Krishna's plan is in the Kaliya episode. And then we'll end with this. That in Kaliya's episode, Krishna is in the coils of Kaliya. And when the Brajavasis come to know about this, they are in bewildered state and they all want to commit suicide. And they all are bewildered, not knowing what to do, and crying, fainting, about to leave their bodies. At that time, Balaramji's reaction is described. Tamstatha kataran vikshya Bhagavan Madhavo Bala. So Tamstatha kataran, by seeing the distress of the Brajavasis, Bhagavan Madhavo, Madhav, or the husband of Goddess of Fortune, Lord Balaram, his name Madhav is being used. And what did he do? Prahasya kinchit novacha prabhavagyo anujasya sa. What was Balaram's response? It is described, prahasya kinchit. He just smiled. Everyone else was crying, and Balaramji smiled. And what did he do? Na uvacha. And he kept silent, kept quiet. People were crying, shouting. Balaramji kept quiet and he gave a big smile. And Sanatan Goswami, in his purport, in his tika, he is saying that actually when Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this verse, the first line of the verse he is speaking in anger. Because Krishna is in distress. Krishna is in the coils of Kaliya. And Kaliya is about to kill Krishna. How can someone just smile? How can someone act equipoised? So the words he is using is, Bhagavan Madhavo Bala. So why Shukadeva Goswami is using this word Madhavo? Madhav refers to the fact that this Balaram, according to Sanatan Goswami, so this Balaram was actually born in Mathura. He is a city man, and therefore city people are a little hard-hearted, not soft like the Brajavasis. And then he says another meaning of Madhav is that one who drinks too much Madhu or Varuni. And therefore, what else you can expect from a drunkard? Many times this discrimination doesn't work properly. That this is a time when Krishna must be saved and he is smiling peacefully. And he uses the word Bala. Anyway, this man is famous for Bala, not for intelligence so much. And therefore, he says, Madhavo Bala. But then in the second line, he says, towards the end of the shloka, Shukadeva Goswami gives the benefit of doubt to Balaramji and says that, of course, he was not at fault because Prabhavagyo Anujasya Sa. He acted like this because Balaramji knew the prabhav, the power and the influence, the unlimited glory of Krishna. Because he knew Krishna's power, therefore he knew that there was no way that Kaliya could do anything to Krishna. Because Prabhavagya, Balaramji knew that generally he is always lying on me as Sheshnag, the biggest snake. But he never plays with me like this. And he is playing with this ordinary mortal snake. And thinking like this, he smiled. And then it is also described that because of his smile, the Brajavasis, they saw his smile and got some hope. That okay, after all Krishna may be saved. And many of the Brajavasis were thinking of committing suicide at that time. But by seeing his smile, they got hope. And therefore they gave up their plan of committing suicide. And they decided, okay, let us go till the Kaliya Harad and see what is the situation. Therefore, a very important lesson which Balaramji is demonstrating, that although he knew the distress of what was happening and he knew it was not a very favorable situation, but he knew that this Krishna has decided today to play with this Kaliya. It is not that he didn't have a chance to play with snakes before. I am always available in the form of Sheshnag, but instead of doing that, if he is entering into this lake and playing with this snake, that means it is his will. And if it is his will, even I cannot do anything. Because I am always subordinate to his will. So therefore I am helpless. But the lesson is demonstrating is, even if sometimes we are helplessly faced with Krishna's will and know that I can't do anything, but still we must not give hope. But we must try whatever is possible within that situation to salvage and do something which will help the mission and the devotees. So within that situation, it was impossible for Balaramji to speak something and pacify and explain because they were in panic. So he didn't give up hope. He just smiled. And through that smile, he gave hope to the Brajavasis. Therefore the moral is, even in the most trying, difficult circumstances, knowing that it is Krishna's will, still we must always try our best. And then Krishna reciprocates. And thus, through this, Lord Balaramji demonstrates his utter humility, his subordination and submission to Krishna's will, that although I am Balaram, I am simply a servant of Krishna. All my powers are subordinate to Krishna's power. And therefore, if I can demonstrate so much of humility and submission to Krishna's will, why should anyone in this world feel proud of their borrowed opulences? So therefore, through these two pastimes of Dvivida and Roma Harshan, and the response to that, Balaramji is demonstrating the method by which one can overcome pride. So these were just few of the anarthas I felt we will discuss today on the occasion of Balaram Jayanti. And 7th canto describes the conclusion that etat sarvam gurau bhaktya purusho hi anjasa tarit. All of these anarthas one can overcome simply by humbly and submissively serving the Guru and his mission. At one stroke, the Guru and his mission, who are representing the potency of Lord Balaramji, they can empower us within the heart, and the material intelligence which looks so attractive, so captivating, and all the attachments and aversions which we possess can be overcome. And then the soul can actually use his real spiritual intelligence, freed from the influence of anarthas, of pride, of greed, of kama, lust, and krodha, and anger, and thus serve Krishna peacefully, and in this way, go back home, back to Godhead. So let us pray at the lotus feet of Lord Balaramji, so that by his causeless, unlimited divine mercy, we can actually experience the influence of the mercy of the Vaishnavas in our life. And unless he reveals that mercy and gives his mercy, by our own struggle, by our own efforts, and coming in contact with the holy name and the pastimes of the Lord, it is not possible to be purified till he bestows his merciful glance. And today is his appearance day, and on the appearance day the Lord is very, very merciful, munificently inclined. And this appearance day is also coinciding with the last day of Jhulan Yatra. So Radha Krishna, Radha Gopijan Vallabh are on their swing, Krishna Balaram are there here on the altar and right here in front of all the devotees. So let us pray at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Radha Gopijan Vallabh, that they bestow their causeless mercy upon us, so that we can become purified of these very, very powerful enemies who are attacking us constantly, tormenting us terribly from within the heart, which create the influence of lust, greed, pride, anger, etc. Only by their mercy it is possible for us to become purified. Let us pray that we get a taste for chanting the holy names. Let us pray that in the association of devotees, we remain protected. We remain protected from the influence of material desires, and may the lordships protect us from committing offenses to other devotees, intentionally or unintentionally. And may this Sangha or association of devotees act like a wonderful platform of service, where we are getting a chance and opportunity to serve each and every devotee in the most humble manner, as demonstrated by Lord Balaramji himself, so that by manifesting this humble service attitude, we can actually purify our consciousness and receive the mercy of the great souls who represent the potency and the power of Lord Balaram. So let us very deeply and from the core of our heart pray for this mercy, because in our modern education system we are taught that you can learn certain skills by which you can do things yourself. So ultimately, the most important principle is learning the skills. Then the understanding is, after you are in contact with the skills and the tools, you can find the solution yourself. But in bhakti, it is exactly the opposite, that the tools may be there, the means may be there, but at every moment till the very end and for the rest of eternity, the controls remain completely in the hands of Krishna, Balaram and their consorts. Until they give their mercy, we cannot do absolutely anything. Therefore, the only principle which works is the principle of begging, like insignificant beggars who possess nothing, which is very difficult to do because we have become contaminated repeatedly in our journey in this material world and in contact with this system, which has taught us exactly the opposite. Don't beg. Never beg. Get knowledge so that you will never have to beg. But this is exactly the opposite. Get more and more knowledge so that you realize how only begging works. And therefore, today is the day where we have to beg at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram so that we can also receive their mercy and become purified. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Balaram ji ki. Balaram ji avirbhav mahotsav ki. Itai gop premanande. So now there will be kirtan and devotees can swing Shishiradha, Gopijan Vallabha, and then there is prasadam. Hare Krishna.